Y'all dogs gonna stop. Y'all dogs gonna drop. And then we gonna shut them down, open up shop. First, we had them like, oh, then they like, oh, wait, are we recording? Oh, I'm sorry. That's so embarrassing of me. I was just,
I got the same problem. So I'll be just feeling it. I know it shows about that. Next thing I know, we're on air. People are in their cars. They're walking around. They're in their house. It's like they had I had an intercom in my living room or something, and I'm like, oh, we're live, shit. I really have to make it a production. Now we're starting. Watch your mouth.
Super embarrassing. Yeah. Honestly, this never happened.
This is the greatest because both of you guys don't have official children of your own, so the podcast is your children. So you tell your dad jokes to it. So that's fun. Like this is. Right. I see the dad energy in Keith when he's like, "Yeah, we're not on air yet." Oh.
Yeah. Now, Hemd is right, and what's more shocking, Rod, is that we're the ones who hit record. And it's still, and it's the only red button out of all the buttons.
It's uncanny.
And it's still 16 years later.
Yeah. Well, you think we'd learn, yeah. You know, but.
You would think, you know, me or Karen would interrupt you like, hey, this is embarrassing. Yeah. But yeah, I think it ends up being enjoyable.
I hope people like an authentic off the cuff moment like that being ripped straight from my life.
It's just embarrassing to us. And then, you know, we stumble and we're like, oh, we're live. We'll edit it. Like, well, all of that can't be edited.
Right. So now we got to leave it in because now we've talked about it.
Right.
And now it would be weird to just start the show here. So
yeah.
I guess everyone just has to know.
You know what else is weird? It's like, wow, Keith really doesn't seem ready. So when we have a guest, it's like they're just on edge. And then he pulls out all these notes and knows about their diary. So that's weird.
It is, you know, blending the professional with the personal, you know.
It's almost like, it's like getting lost and having GPS in your pocket. It's just, how does that happen?
He does that too.
I know.
He's the best.
I know I mentioned this, Rod. I don't know if you caught it, that we had our intern, Lucas, rest in peace. And he'd get mad when I do those fake starts.
Yeah.
He's like, you were recording. I'm like, yeah, that's the stupidity of it. Yeah, but you say you don't know. You know.
You tricked me.
I love it. I love it because if we're uncomfortable, we take it out on people's joy. Why do you like doing that? You're so much smarter than enjoying that fact of your life. Please stop enjoying corny shit.
What can I say?
I got your nose. No, you didn't. You did not. I still have it here.
Well, I mean, this is embarrassing, but we might as well get started. Yeah. All right. Welcome to Last Week on Keith and the Girl. All my last weeklings out there. This is the, for me, bi-weekly podcast where we recap what happened that week on Keith and the Girl. I'm your second favorite host, Rod. And I'm joined, as always, by the stars of the show, Hemda and Keith. What's going on, y'all?
Oh, thank you for this booking. I'm so glad that we can link up like this. I appreciate it. Can you just say my credits next time in the opening, please?
Oh, absolutely. You know, next time, I got you.
Please.
No problem. I won't say DMX lyrics. I'll say your credits.
I mean, we're on air, so let's be professional.
It is interesting thing. This is like my weekly check-in with y'all. You know, this is like, at this point, it's just like, oh yeah, let me see what my friends are up to. You know,
this is the closest we've ever been.
It is even when it's Karen's turn because I have to do all the tech stuff. I still have like 5 minutes of like, hey, these guys still alive, making it in the Z pocket. How's it going?
All about to make me lose my. We're still recording.
God
damn it.
Yeah, Keith. I know it's been on my mind heavy too. Yeah.
My fault.
My friend texted me because DMX died, if you guys don't know. Mm-hmm. My friend texted me and they were like, what are they gonna do when people start talking about some of his lyrics? Because he has some misogynistic stuff, he has some homophobic stuff.
Oh, he's not shy about the F word.
Yeah, transphobic stuff. And I was like,
and you know how like the N word rhymes itself all the time in a lot of these rap songs?
Yeah.
The F word rhymes itself a lot.
A lot. And so
rhymes itself. That's a good one.
Yeah.
she texted me. She goes, what are they going to do when they see this on Twitter? Because everyone's going to get upset. And I said, oh, do you think they're going to lose their minds? You think they're going to?
I was listening to the Rough Riders stuff in general last night, and that is so good too. And I feel stupid saying it so late in the game. How fantastic is Eve?
Oh man, Eve was one of the goats, and she just like left the game.
Yeah,
like she didn't even have like a thing. Like, oh, her music isn't selling, or people got tired of her. She just went like got married to a billionaire. I was like, I'm gonna go be on the talk and just be rich.
She was like, when it came to rap, she was like the original Nicki Minaj to me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I totally missed this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She was in it was weird because she was in this gap for rap where it was like Lil' Kim, Foxy Brown were big, but they were rivals. And then there was like Eve, and everybody was cool with Eve.
Yeah.
Like, which was like weird. It just never happens in hip hop. And then Nicki Minaj comes along, and now everybody's back to like, fuck you, no fuck yous. So I don't know. She had a blessed existence, but that was my girl.
I think it feels like if you collaborate like up top real quick, you know, then you kind of make nice with, and she made nice across genres. So I feel like that's a thing too. And then you're just kind of baked into a bunch of stuff without starting any of that cow beef.
And she was the girl on a fucking like rap level where everybody was like, I'm gonna fucking kill you. So she, like, it was kind of weird to have her be like that girl, but she, and I remember I was listening to this one rap they had, this one song they had where the chorus was like, do we fuck them till they come? It was like, hell yeah, we make them.
What do Rough Riders do? What do Rough Riders do? Rough Riders get laid, and Rough Riders fuck them till they come. And that's the chorus.
I'm like, look at this. Eve is having an effect on these guys. Good for you. Okay.
Wow. Like, it's almost like in the 90s, women got to start to come.
Right.
Yeah. Like, before that, you know, it's, I'm forgetting who has this joke, but she has this joke like, oh, I slept with some guy last night, you know. And when, you know, I was talking to my girlfriend about it afterwards. And when you talk to your guy friends after you get laid, like, at what part do you ask if he came? Like, when do you ask? Like, that's the question that girls get, like women, excuse me, get asked, like, so did you come? Wow. Yeah. Thank you for making that an option.
Yeah.
The 1990s.
Shout out to Progress.
Yeah, this is my rhetorical question. Sorry, this is the chorus. Do you fellas bust your guns? Oh, yeah, we bust your guns. Bust our guns. Do you fuck them till they come? Damn right.
Damn right, we make them come. Tell them north, south, east, west. That was the shit back then. I was like, think about that. I was in college and a club full of men was like, we gonna fuck these girls today. Come. Like, that's what makes me high five, bro. Like, that is the direct opposite of every other hip hop song I've ever heard. Right. rhetorical question of the week is, did I do that?
What flooding did you do now?
I didn't break anything this week, so this is a very
you guys are keeping yourself entertained, however, you know, like, it's pandemic, so just do what you do.
I did have to write a complaint, not even complaint, what do you call it? I had to put a work order in to our apartment to come get the shit they used to stop the flood.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Because I told, and it was that bullshit where when it happened, I said, okay, so when are y'all going to come back for the stuff? He's like, oh, there's the guy who brought that, he'll come back for it. Okay. So it sits there over the weekend. They come in, they finish some stuff on Monday. I said, hey, before you leave, that guy never came back. And he said he'd be back like Saturday, and now it's Monday. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll tell him. You know
what is it, like, by the way? Is it anything good? Just keep it.
No, it's a fucking big ass fan that blows shit dry. I'm going to pawn it. Just come fucking get it. It's there's no other use for it here.
Right.
Someone else in this apartment complex is going to flood some shit eventually. And then you're going to be like, where's the fucking dryer? You're going to come to my house in a month? Just get the shit now.
Yeah, just hold it for us. Somebody else will need it. And we're one community.
If the guy's not going to come to... have them come to you. You got storage rooms all over this bitch. So I had to put a fucking work order in. And then it almost made me more mad because I put the work order in and the guy was there in like 5 minutes. Like, son of a bitch.
Why didn't you say?
Yeah.
You just have to say.
We need a number, Rod, to come and pick up our stuff. We need a, you know, ID number.
Now that you'll be getting a survey, evaluate my performance, I guess I'll do the work, fucker. But that's not what we're here for, guys. We're here to talk about this week of shows.
But with that said, I was so in the moment. I want you to know that.
Oh, well, yeah. You know, I'm a great storyteller. Okay. I like to draw people in. but we had two regular shows this week,
yep.
And Diamond Dogs.
Little Diamond Dogs popping.
Them dogs having an Easter holiday edition. You love very special editions here. and last week on Keith and the Girl for Karen. And Q&A. So yep. It's still a full week if you're a person who's able to hear this show.
Right.
So it's a full week.
Yeah, but if you're not a person who can hear this show, it's not a full week. You only got two episodes.
Nah,
which is
nah,
why
nah,
I'm saying if you're a VIP listener, go on the forums and just talk shit. You know, go on the regular post and be like, oh, you guys only got two episodes. Oh, that's interesting. I've been listening to Keith and the Girl all week long. Getting the best of my life.
Do like, oh, this remind, like, let's say we're talking about the show White Cats Are Assholes with Liz Mealy. Right on that thread, some things that we comment about on this show. It's like, mm-hmm. I know Rod brought out a great point, which, ha ha.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't know. Oh, wow. Well, that's interesting. Let's start there. Episode 3,393, Why Cats Are Assholes with Liz Mealy.
Are you a cat person, Rod?
No. Fuck, who's a cat person?
Hey, do you like murderers, assuming they're not justified, Rod?
Right. You know what? Kind of a fan of OJ. Other than that, no. And they're all bad. I actually felt a little tricked by Liz.
Mm-hmm.
Because her book is Cats Are Assholes.
Right.
But she spent a lot of time on this show defending the cats, and that was very surprising to me.
But even the book, even going through the book, it doesn't tell you. It tries to make you like here's why they're assholes. So you could understand it. But the fact remains, they are assholes.
Mm-hmm.
Like yeah, they do chew up my favorite shit, and I'm like, really? Because I just jumped to page 200.
Well, right. You know what I mean?
Like we're still going, and they're still an asshole.
We all love a good sociopath, right? A lot of them are very charismatic. And before you know it, you fall in love and they're scratching your face. But you're like, bah, but you should see them when they're so fun.
It's like if shit my dad says was, but it was racist shit your dad said. It's like, right. No, I don't want to like this guy. Yeah. Don't write. This book should be a totally different book. It should be fuck this dude. Oh, man. Anyway.
But once in a while, my dad took me to Dairy Queen. Like, I know Liz, but cats are assholes.
I mean, you never know. Some days he's abusive. Some days he takes you to Dairy Queen. Right. And that's why I wrote this book.
Oh, my God. Keith went to Dairy Queen like 3 times in his life.
Yeah.
Those are his good memories from his childhood. Oh, I can't wait until the dad emails the book.
It was even uncomfortable. It was Dunkin' Donuts, actually. And he'd think it was father-son time. It'd almost be like... If he was the estranged dad or a stepdad, and I was with him every so often, he's like, I don't know what to do, but let's go to the Dunkin' Donuts. We're going to sit at the bar. And that was scary as a kid, even if it was Dunkin' Donuts. You know, like, I'm sitting where adults sit. And here's your donut. He really just wanted a donut, though. That was, you know, the way to get right. A donut away from mom. And I'd get milk. He'd get his coffee. And
did you get to pick your donut?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I can go top shelf. I can go any donut. I could go crawlers. I can go with clears.
Coffee cake?
I could definitely go coffee cake, wow. But you know, you go apple filled. And it was just such awkward non-conversation that I'm like, this isn't worth it. And we weren't given shit. And I'm like, this isn't worth a donut.
Like what? Like what's your favorite color? I love watching adults struggle to talk to kids.
Oh, like, you're right. I'll show you what it's like. Ready?
How are you today?
Yeah.
What? I'm a child.
That's how it was.
Oh.
Hello, daughter. Any donut you want. This is fun. Like he tells
Yay.
Me. Oh, good to know. All right, I'll write that down. How are you today?
Good, I guess. Okay.
Okay, that's my 2 bites and a slurp. Anything you want to tell me?
Oh my God. Anything you want to tell me? I just feel like I'm in trouble.
Right. Oh, that's fun to eat a donut.
Right. That was like when you put your business card in one of those plunge bowls,
yeah,
and then you get that call and they're like, hey, you want a free meal at such and such, you know, PF Chang's or something? Like, oh, cool. Yeah, I just want to go over this telemarketing thing with you. And you're like, that's not worth PF Chang's. No, there's no amount of food that's going to make that okay. I'd rather eat McDonald's in my car than what the fuck we're doing right now.
Yeah, it's very awkward.
Yeah. Like, normally the parents are the ones when the kids want to go out to eat that are like, we have such and such at home. But then, like, in that situation, you're the one that's like, we have milk at home. I don't, why are we here at Dunkin' Donuts doing this awkward conversation?
But we were at a restaurant the other day, and Kyle laughs at me the way I, because of how I was raised, you know, where Dunkin' Donuts was a treat, but a treat mm-hmm. that was ruined. We're at a nicer restaurant, and I look outside, and indoors, I go indoors. Indoors, everybody's away from each other. Outdoors, it looks scarier to me with COVID. But anyway, I'm looking outside, and there's a family with two kids. And I'm like, and this is expensive. And I'm like, are these going to be brat fucking kids or normal kids?
Oh, my God, you were so abused.
Yeah. Like, you're
Why are you giving them nice things?
That's easily $20 pasta, and it's probably noodles and butter. Are they going to understand not getting things someday?
Why do you want them to understand that?
I don't know, because like I would see Kyle and her kids, and you know, one of them blows up and then goes, hey, can I get $20 though? To go? I'm like, that's on planet, can you even ask that? And did you blow up because you live in a world where you could assume you can always have $20? Ah! Is there that's something different to the way I was raised? You know, I can't help it. I can't help
it. I get what you're saying, but that's different. Don't forget that if kids are sitting at a fancy restaurant, they know they're doing it for their parents. They want to be at the shit restaurant that cost you less. Yeah. So they're doing you a favor. And like, whether that's on your budget or not, that's different than if you don't suffer, then you will not be, you know, a good, nice person.
It's also why every restaurant, no matter how fancy, has chicken fingers and mm-hmm. French fries for the kids menu, because kids don't give a fuck about that shit. They're not, you know, ooh, $40 lobster pasta? Pfft, I don't like chicken fingers and ketchup, bitch. What are we doing right now? It's a waste of, everything's a waste of food to kids if it's not chicken fingers and fucking ketchup. Exactly.
Yeah, and if you look at your kids constantly, you know what they want. So maybe they can share a burger because they're smaller, or maybe mm-hmm. maybe this is your one outing a year or a month. Don't worry,
it's not budgeted. They were pretty cash.
Casual.
I'm not saying they didn't budget it. I know. I looked out there. I know they're fucking trillionaires.
When he took his monocle off to order the food, you knew something was up.
I didn't tell you, it was the Monopoly guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Anyway, those kids, I mean, the kids grow up to be assholes thing. I mean, what are you, like a 50-50 chance anyway, no matter what your upbringing?
Right.
There's a lot of assholes out here, so I'm saying, especially cats, 100% of them.
100. You ever meet one that like blew your fucking mind? Only on video, and I'm like, oh, he's being trained. It was trained early like a dog. Okay. Look, my cat's beautiful. It comes over and does treats and rolls around like a dog. And I'm like, okay, then you raise the dog. I love it.
Oh my God.
Congrats. Yeah. Now, I will say, fact checking this episode.
Yes.
There were two errors here. Uh-oh. The first being Nick Fury was not scratched by a cat.
Explain. He was scratched by an alien cat.
By a flurkin. Okay.
All right.
That is not exactly a cat. That's an alien species that doesn't even exist on Earth.
Right. So, and I want to be clear that I did not make you look ridiculous. I did not make our show look stupid. It was a cat.
I just want you to understand that that's a big thing in the Captain Marvel universe.
It was a magic. It was a magic cat of sorts, but it was a cat. It didn't look like a dog.
Tentacles came out of it. It can eat bombs. There's a lot of things that happen in that movie that cats can't do.
I think cats can do that.
I could see where you're pushing the line here.
I think cats can do that shit.
I don't want to have to pull up the clip.
I've seen a cat with worms come out its asshole. I've seen a lot of things.
Well, that was the first one. Okay. Now that is a fictional mistake.
All right.
And I accept that.
Okay.
What I do not accept
is
the cat propaganda. Of Liz Millie saying Tina Fey
yep,
was attacked by a dog. Now, yep, that is a real life thing that that would or did not happen, and it didn't happen.
Right.
Yeah, in all fairness, our forums corrected it, and we now know that she was a five-year-old in her front garden just hanging out, and somebody came up to her and slashed her face. She thought it was a marker at the time. She thinks it wasn't that traumatic because it just didn't kick in until later. And there was something about her therapist thinks that when her daughter turns that age, that's when the trauma is going to come up. And that is a weird, it sounds like some astrological, you know, right, prediction that you can't, well, when your five-year-old, when your kid is a five-year-old.
And your eyes connect.
Right.
And you see your eyes in her mirrors.
It doesn't seem like therapists should be predicting it like that.
Like on the third moon. Right.
I think that's rich people's therapy. We're not at that level. We can't afford that yet.
Like looking forward to our problems. Like we're done with current problems. Let's look forward to the ones that are
when
coming.
You charge
up
that much per session, you got to have some different shit than just like, okay, well, you seem pretty well adjusted, and you know, I guess we can reduce these sessions to once a month. It's like, no. We're gonna get to the trauma. It's probably gonna be when your daughter turns five, and then you're gonna have a full blown meltdown. So keep me on speed dial.
Right, you're already a level 7 therapy. So I think you're ready for the future talk.
Yeah. we're doing what we call pre-panic attacks. Mm-hmm. And we just want to prepare you for the panic attacks you're going to have. We scheduled several.
it's like scheduling the C-section instead of waiting to give birth. Like, you want to know what's coming.
Yeah. The same way that we know how much we'll deduct from your bank account at a period, we will also know exactly how much you will have panic attacks.
And just for the record, trauma sessions cost a little bit more, but you know that, and you don't have to worry about that because we have access mm-hmm. to your account. So we'll just, you know, we'll put it in the system. You're good to go.
her therapist writes on the chart. It's not, it's just a bunch of boxes of like, and that's a added bonus of $15. All right.
15.
Crying, that's 100. All right. Good. Getting some good work here done.
Right.
oh, you had some childhood trauma and you have a child? Double bonus. Mm-hmm. but yeah, so Liz is a weird liar, okay? She lied about the title of her book. And then she's so sweet. I really do like her.
It's one of those things where I think she heard it and didn't want to look it up so she can still believe it, that it was a dog mm-hmm. problem.
Yeah, but well, it's confirmation bias. She hates, she's on the cat side, so she wants to believe dogs are out here just attacking Tina Fey.
But like, this is a celebrity, this is somebody mm-hmm. in public that you could easily look it up. I would like to know, at what age did the dog hit her? Dog scratch mm-hmm. her? Were you an adult and you picked out the dog? Was it a rabid dog? Were you a kid in a dog? Like, you didn't look it up, and you're just putting out this sickness that angels bias. Among us are...
Okay.
Confirmation bias. It's the same way you thought a flirking was a cat. That's all it takes. You're wow. just like, fuck the research. I saw what I saw.
Is a flirking a cat? Enter.
There you go.
Or an IKEA furniture piece.
I love that it's a nerd thing, because that means there will be nerds who are like, no.
Yeah, you're confident. You're just like, of course it's not a cat. Like,
sure,
I know.
Look it up. I'm sure these nerds have already argued about this stupid shit, right. Even though it looks like a cat.
The flurkin look like the domesticated cats that live on Earth, but have tentacles that come out of their mouths and can swallow up large objects and store them in bubbles in their bellies. They can also lay hundreds of eggs at a time to produce offspring.
And Keith is like, how do you know cats can't do that? They're just on their own all day. They don't need you. How come they don't need you? Because they're doing tentacle shit while you're not looking.
Because they just ate a whole turkey down the street.
There you go.
Speaking of dogs.
Yes.
DMX.
Yeah.
He was in the hospital in this episode. OD'd on Friday, and then he was dead, and then he was back to life. Mm-hmm. Twitter several times. Twitter was just trending his name like he's dead, and it's just like, no. And then it's like, oh wait, he's not dead, my bad. And it's like, fuck you, right. Fuck you for even saying that. I thought it was interesting the Rough Riders as a group showed up in the streets of the hospital to send him good vibes and positive energy. Because, like I said, I listen to the Rough Riders, and the Rough Riders are all like, you know, we're going to fucking kill this person, we're going to rob this person. But then at the same time, it was like, but the dog is in the hospital. Maybe he can feel our positive hippie vibes, sending him love from the streets. And there was something kind of beautiful about that.
And then they robbed some people on the way home for being sucker ass bitches.
Well, they're telling you who they're going to rob and who they're going to whatever rough ride all over the place. It's not this guy.
That's
not who they're going to rob or do other not nice things to. So very clear in their message.
It's funny that you notice DMX songs, though. It's he's going to kill you all. You know, Red Cross can't clean up all the blood. And then the next song is Get Out of the Game. No, don't be here. Why are you acting like such a tough guy? Then Murder. Then the next song is Come On. You were, and it's every not album, your fault you weren't raised right.
Every album finishes with a prayer.
Right.
Like, and it's not just like a regular, like, now lay me down to sleep. It's like a fucking, like, you know, and if the devil comes before I wake, he's like, damn, this motherfucker is getting some shit out. I don't know what he did. He got some real traumatic sins happening, because the harder you pray, the more I'm like, you did. I don't know who you killed.
Yeah, he owes God, it seems. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But I feel like Tupac had that going on also with that song Keep Your Head Up. But then the rest of it is like, I'm going to kill you and nothing's right. I think he flip flopped back and forth in an album. But I feel like that's life, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've been there. You
know, murder, and then like, hey. Everyone's wonderful.
Yep. You listen to our podcast over the years. I'm sure we all have our murder episodes and our pray episodes. I mean, what can we say?
That's true. Do enough episodes, you have a murder episode. Also, I love the idea of trending that you're dead before you're dead so that you can see people's response. If we can get me trending as dead, would that be wrong? That would be wrong or good?
Yeah, well, I kind of like it. I hate that he was brain dead and getting to see the love he got.
Exactly.
Because it's one of the few times where someone like him, people just give like complete total like, oh man, that guy, you know. But if it was like Prince Philip, I'd rather just die. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, you don't want to see what they said about you when you trended on Twitter when you were dead. Because the Prince Philip shit was like, fuck this guy. I watched 3 episodes of The Crown. Piece of shit.
But so, there's always people. There's always people who don't like you. Like, I imagine people will come out saying, oh, no, I did like her. But there's going to be a couple and I want to see those. Mm-hmm. So please put out the word that I'm dead.
Well, I think for you, most people are like him. I just think it just depends on who you are.
You don't know. You don't know until I'm dead. So
I'm gonna say I know.
I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, there's nothing you can say. If Keith's one of the haters? He's just
But I'll tell you what. When it's announced that she's dead, I'm gonna wait a couple of days before I say something.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
You know what? We should get it trending, and then Keith should retweet it, but add the comment, never liked her.
God, finally. Like, really?
I'm still thinking of my thoughts. She was complicated. R.I.P.
Keith and nothing. Keith and Mally.
It does feel weird now. I realized this when DMX passed. And I guess it's true for everybody now, but when you have social media, it's like everyone almost has to turn into like a obituary writer. Mm-hmm. You know, like we had a guest on our show. She passed last week, Midwin Charles. She was a big commentator on like MSNBC and all this stuff. Right. And a big fan of our show, which was like total weird coincidence. So
that's fun.
Yeah. But then everyone was tagging us as soon as they found out she died on social media. It was like, oh, she died. What are y'all gonna say? And I was like, what is do we have to have a press release? I didn't think that was a thing. I just found out this cool person passed. And it's like, what? There's not I'm not a PR person. You know what I mean? Am I supposed to hire someone to put out 2 paragraphs?
The thing is you have these thoughts. As soon as you see that somebody you know or liked passes, you have these thoughts of, oh my God, I liked them so much. They were always warm. Like, that's such a shame. And then your next thought has to be, oh, I got to write this down and like tag the right people and hashtag the right thing. We have had where people have died who have, you know, been guests on our show who we've liked and all that stuff. And it's just very difficult to participate in that, even though that is the participation of now. And I would like to point out that I thought Keith was about to take a dump during this very sensitive talk about your friend. But I think that he got up too, because it looks like he might have spilled all of his water during this conversation and cleaning it up right now.
You hate to see it.
Yeah. And we don't, and I don't see, this is why I do sippy cups, because there's only so much like, And it's near the equipment, it's near everything. And I know I knock things down, and I am so surprised that we didn't hear Keith screaming across the room, and he has no idea what we've just been talking about. So anyway, so that's Liz Lemon. You know what I mean?
Amazing episode.
Yeah. What? So that's why they turned it.
I heard a tone. What?
What happened?
I was looking. So you were saying about.
You can't hear me.
You were saying about DMX's
friend died,
and people.
Yeah, So we had a friend of the show die last week, and it's weird now how everyone has to have almost like a press release.
Don't repeat it for Keith.
Well, this is what I heard. And what I was doing, I was looking for my phone. Because I saw my stepson, 13-year-olds. I never heard him play DMX. But, Kyle looks through his phone at the end of the day and saw that on Instagram, or she followed his Instagram. On Instagram, it was all black and said, RIP DMX for real.
Oh, for realsies. Like,
yeah, for real, man. This is for real. So right now, I was looking through for my phone. I couldn't find it, but just when I was ready to give up looking for it, I bumped over a glass of water on all my computer stuff, and I never use glasses of water. I use mugs for the gravitas of it, and I knew it'd bite me in the ass one day, so if I said that one day it's going to bite me in the ass, why would I use a glass again, fucking idiot? Kinda knows.
Well, you know, Benny
sorry that woman died, by the way.
No problem.
I got my own fucking problem.
I appreciate this.
Jesus Christ.
Keith was just pouring it out for your homie.
Out 16 full fucking ounces.
Tip of 40 to my memory. Class act, Keith Malley over here, guys. All right. But yeah, it's just weird. Everyone has a press release. Even the people that hate people now. Like, it's not like Prince Philip died. Fuck him. It's like, Prince Philip in 1975 went to Africa and said the following. It's like, damn, do y'all just have this ready to go? Like, is it in draft every day? You just look at it like, not today. I hope you choke on something tomorrow, bitch.
Or
no one's going to celebrate you.
Or there was only one time that that person ever did anything nice, and it was in 1976. Like, okay, this will be easy to write because I only have one good memory. So better write that one before someone else takes it.
What was RIP Bozo? Do you know what Bozo meant? I didn't know if it was a black Twitter thing, because all the memes associated with it was like black rappers being like, oh shit, or drop the mic, like, or laughing.
I didn't follow that one. When DMX died, I just kind of like got off of Twitter for a day, because it's just like nothing but sad DMX songs and shit.
Dude, I can almost cry at that. On my Twitter feed, I reposted somebody's the old video that I saw of them in a marching band. Out on the field, and they did Rough Riders Anthem, and you know, everybody starts singing it. And I remember when it happened, he of course was huge. That anthem was huge, and everybody liked it. And then now it's like, it's sad.
I went to HBCU, a historically black college, and everyone's known for their bands, right? You know, white bands, but our shit is like halftime comes, and Rough Riders Anthem, Earth, Wind, and Fire, all that stuff. So when I was in school, that was a thing. Like, halftime comes up and you hear that, you know, it's like, oh shit, and everybody's like jumping up. We're losing by 50 already. It's just like, here we go, you know. So yeah, definitely a big part of history. We met DMX once. We went to RevoltCon, which was this thing Puff Daddy did for his TV, Revolt TV station. And so they wanted to have podcasters there to talk about the podcast industry and all this shit. And so, of course, had Nori, the rapper Noriega. He has a podcast called Drink Champs. They had this guy Tax Stone, who's like this hip hop, like, I think he's in prison now, actually.
That's podcast. What podcasting will get to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, okay, the podcast game, if y'all are out there listening, thinking about getting in, everyone's like, how come people only get to 10 episodes and stops? Because podcast beef is real in these streets. You need to be careful what you're saying. Combat Jack, rest in peace. He was also there. He was a huge podcaster because he did a lot of interviews with, like, these fucking super rich moguls and shit. And I think he had a podcast series called Mogul. It's like really huge. So
that's cool.
And then me and Karen.
That's cool, but that is cool. Yeah, but you guys represent big time.
Me and Karen we're like, listen, because, like, you know, there's like the panel where they're like, what about this advice? What about, and they're all like, once you get to 1 million downloads, this is what you can do. And we're like, so here's what we did. Right. We just started advertising at this many downloads because you're never going to be as famous as these people right here. And you're not going to be able to get DMX on your show, probably your first episode. So what we do is this, you know, but we were coming down the elevator because they had like a nice hotel, like the Fontainebleau Hotel in Miami. Like, it's all fancy. We're just, you know, two country bumpkins up in there just like, oh my God. The shower opens up this way. Right.
You know? And I bet you saw kids walking up and down the halls. You know what I mean? Like, what? Future murderers.
We didn't, I think we did see kids in a fancy restaurant, though. Okay. But we didn't see any on our floor.
Good.
Kids in a fancy restaurant equals future murderers.
It takes a village, not a restaurant and 4-star hotel.
Oh my God.
like we're planning on going away somewhere at the end of May and the kids are coming, but the kids just got in so much trouble the other day, you know? So it's like, well, you're coming anyway, but God damn it. How do we get you in trouble? How do you get a punishment? And to punish you at the end of May, you're going to have the time of your fucking life.
On your vacation, do you like take them to Applebee's and then y'all go to Shea, wherever? Like,
right. We'll be in the parking lot.
All right, like, here's your McDonald's. We'll be back in an hour or so.
If they charge you for that game on the Applebee's table, you tell them I'd rather not pay.
Yeah, exactly. You don't even think I'm Rockefeller over here. But yeah, so they we were going down the elevator, and in the elevator, DMX walks in with this beautiful woman too. No idea if she was a kid or fiance, girlfriend or whatever. Yeah. Who knows? But, you know, Karen does her Karen thing because she's so sweet and nice to everybody. So she's just like, and she doesn't know he's even DMX. That's she's funny. Just so fucking just nice to everyone all the time. So
she says the like, mix.
Yeah. she's like, what floor are you going to, baby, or whatever? Right. And he's just like, floor number 3 or whatever. And she's like,
1, 2, 3, 4.
and she's like, okay, or whatever. And like, here's the button. And, you know, I think she asked like how he was doing or something like that. And then before they got off the end of the elevator, he just leans over towards her and goes, you have beautiful energy. You have very beautiful energy. I just, and she's like, thank you, baby. He's like, no, thank you, or whatever. And it's like, oh, that was DMX. And then he gets off, and I'm like, damn, that was DMX. That's nice. And she's like, that was DMX. Like, fuck it. What did I, why'd I even ruin that? She didn't even told you.
Right, shouldn't have told you.
Yeah.
You didn't earn it. You got enough joy out of the interaction.
Yeah.
You know what? Karen and I should have a show where you guys don't tell us, but we go to a different place.
But it's called
place.
What Is It? And they have to say if it's a fruit or a movie.
That's a good one, too. I was thinking you drop us off at some, like, social networking thing, and everyone's famous, and we have no idea. And then we're just like, regular talking at everybody, like, oh, what do you do?
Right. Yeah. And they leave, the ladies leave their trillionaires because they were the coolest customers in town.
Right. Everyone loves them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you act. Oh, my God. You know what? You are very pretty. You have, like, kind of like a star. I feel like you're already on TV. It's weird. Like,
I think your laugh should be iconic. That's a good laugh.
What does your mother think about this?
You want to ever tell you should get into acting? Because you are, like, amazing. And then they're just like, I'm Tom Cruise. What the fuck was wrong with those women?
Or we just go like, are you a model?
Right.
And then you're like, you guys notice they're all just laughing at us? Is because we're women? Or they're like, it's that uncomfortable laughter. Like, well, I am. I'm like, well, good.
It's going to be uncomfortable because some people we might like half recognize. Like, I've done this before. I'm like, I feel like I know you from something.
Yeah,
but now I think I met them before, and that's why they seem like half familiar. And they're like,
right.
I feel like a show.
They'll be playing silent trailers, and they're the it's like silent trailers, but the Jeopardy version, because they are the answer, and you're the one like, you were in. I know you were in like a TV show or a movie, or just like. Yes, a movie.
But meanwhile, I know I pick like the most obscure thing that people do. Like there's the lead on one of the leads on Heavenly Creatures is now I'm seeing her in like comedies all over the place. And I'm just and I would meet her and go like, oh, my God, Heavenly Creatures. Yeah. Holy shit.
Where do I know you from? And then they have to go down their IMDb credits till they get to some obscure shit that.
Oh, yeah.
Drop Dead Fred. Yeah, no one's brought that up since 1995. So
they would yell at her. Yes. They'd think she's joking. They're like, fuck you.
Right. Yeah.
I did stand up at the Palladium, and you're bringing up when I was that goofy asshole and Drop Dead Fred. Fuck you.
Leprechaun, not Friends. Fuck you. Okay.
And meanwhile, like actors are like, they would hate, like, what do I know you from? It's like, motherfucker, I don't know. Now it's just weird. Hemda means like, no, were you the friend of a friend at the Third Avenue party? Or. Did you get in a cab with me sometime? Where do I know you? Look at me and think, where do you know me from?
Oh, man. Hemda brought up something that I do remember it from high school. I don't know if Keith even had this issue. I feel like no, but and maybe it's a city thing. I don't know. But
friends?
Wearing the same, not wearing shoes that weren't sandwich bags. Okay. This is a big
What? Like, no, well, I'm like, why don't you make the shoe with the bag inside?
Oh, God.
Wearing the same outfit. That, like, I know it was mostly girls that talk about that, but I know for at least at my high school, probably I would assume most black people at black high schools go through this shit because it's like weird fashion hazing shit where it's just like, we're all wearing the same shit, but not at the same time. Like, oh, you got that Hilfiger shirt? Well, I'm wearing mine Friday. So, but it used to be like the bane of my fucking existence, waiting on a bus and be like, oh no, this guy's got the same duckhead jeans. What am I gonna do in a school of 1,000 people where we don't even have class together? Oh man, well, now I don't give a fuck.
There was also, like, in my Jewish school, at some point, you know, like, certain things become very popular. So at some point, like, I think in eighth grade, everyone was wearing Champion sweatshirts. And at the time, they were so expensive, my parents were not buying it. I think my mom even offered to, like, sew a C on something. And I'm like, can we just recognize that that's not a human thing to say here? Like, I feel like you're not listening to me as a human being if you're going to say shit like that to me. Like, did you not exist as a child anytime with other children around and you had to deal with shit that you think it's normal to tell me that you're going to sew a C on it? Now, I could be making this up, but that was my mother's general vibe.
My mom got us champions.
Oh. One time my mom got us
champoons.
Snuck it in there. My mom got me some Jordache shoes that look like Michael Jordan shoes, which is the worst thing you could have in a black neighborhood. Because one, it draws all the attention of, ooh, he got the new Jordans. But then it draws all the ridicule of, this motherfucker got on Jordache. So,
right. Oh, no.
Yeah. I had to leave them out in the rain over the weekend on accident to get some new shoes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's funny.
She was like, I should make you wear these. I was like, it's impossible. They're cardboard because they're so fucking cheap, Mom. The rain disintegrated these shoes over the weekend.
Oh, and that's Mom trying, right? Like, well, if everyone likes you or, you know, nobody can tell the difference. Like, how are you speaking to yourself like that, let alone me out loud? Like, come on. Yeah.
Cool. I'd rather they be like, listen, we broke. Okay. Yeah. $20 is the max for shoes. Figure it out. Like, don't tell me it's my personality that's making this happen. If everyone likes you, they'll be okay with you having these fucking rip-off Reebok pumps that aren't Reebok pumps. Like, no, mom.
Yeah, that's one of those, like, do it or don't. Like, you either have the pumps or you don't. But going back real quick to the matching outfits, you know, like, there was a thing where couples were matching. In fact, if you listen to the lyrics from Gangster Bitch, where he needs a gangster bitch, one of the lyrics is that they go out with matching outfits. And he says that, like, in this endearing, like, we're going to go out in matching outfits. And, of course, we're going to kill a couple people and you're going to pick up from uptown and all that stuff. But, like, we're matching outfits. And it's, like, it's fucking such a hardcore lyric thing. Like, oh, one time she got, you know, whatever, picked up uptown, so she has 5 years in jail. He says it more eloquently and more rhymey. And then he goes, I guess it's time for my next gangster bitch. And then it's like, who am I matching with now?
Karen and I's picture, we took a picture at high school at Sears back when did that type of thing in matching sweaters. So we have this iconic, ridiculous picture of us in these fucking goofy sweaters. We thought we were so cool. We were like, this is going to be great. Now, thank God we stayed together forever because it becomes adorable. It's like the worst at the same time.
Can I read you a little gangsta bitch?
Sure.
I never heard it, so I do mean read.
For the record, you're going to see how spot on I was.
You were. Yo, I need a gangsta bitch. She don't sleep and she don't play. Sticking up girls from around the fucking way. Strapped but lovable. Hateful but huggable. Always in trouble and definitely fuckable. See her now. Booms and pounds. She's my friend. Puffing on a blunt. Simping on. By the way, listening to old DMX stuff and Rough Riders, they really love glorifying weed. Like it was never going to become a regular thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and then I'm puffing. Like, it was supposed to make you go, oh, shit, you're puffing. She's got charm, a firearm to match mine. Going to the movies, packing his and her nines. Aw. Wearing whatever.
Carhartt and leather. Never mind the weather.
On Valentine's Day, doing stick-ups together.
Together. See? It's cute.
Meanwhile, this is like the nightmare story of every episode of For My Man, this TV show I watch.
Oh yeah, where,
like all these up and coming women that just got attached to some dumbass thug. It's like, you know, she was the smartest girl in school, and then by the end, it's like she was wearing matching nines and sticking people up together. It's like, well, now she's in prison, and the postscript is always like, and they don't communicate anymore. Like, of course not. You're both in fucking prison. He ruined your life.
Gangster bitch. Keep it still reading it.
Yeah. Licking shots in the park and had pet names. I called her dollars because that's what she liked to spend. Well, that's rude. She called me
diamonds because my dick was her best friend.
Yeah. Interesting. If you owed her dough, then you had to pay. Bought her an AK for her 21st birthday. We packed up and shacked up. Didn't need a job. Engaged to a criminal. Married to the mob. I gave MCs injuries and beat them down while she's picking up keys.
K-I-S?
Kilos.
Okay.
Kilos.
From uptown. Sad to say, one day got caught out there. I shed a tear when the judge said 5 years. She's gone now, so it's time to make my switch. So, who'll be my next gangster bitch?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he's so loyal, you know? He's not going to wait that 5 years. He's out here, ladies.
She wouldn't want me to be a bitch, yeah.
Right. You could be the next person that till they get caught doing
just don't get caught. That was our love language, not getting caught. And
and then, it's of course, when she gets out of prison, she'll be well adjusted and not gonna kill you,
right?
So it'll be fine.
I think, Keith, you're gonna enjoy that song.
I'm in. It'll be our wedding.
It's like
song.
They say, ride or die, you know. Matt Gaetz,
yes.
QAnon is weird because all the people they fuck with do the shit that they say they are against.
Yeah,
all of them. It's like fucking children, sex trafficking, hanging out with Jeff Epstein, election rigging. Like, what? Y'all, the call is coming from inside the house. What the fuck is going on?
I'm into that that HBO documentary, Into the Storm.
Yes.
I'll probably start it very soon. But I guess they say how it starts, but it's obviously a right-wing thing. So if you're right-wing, you're Matt Gaetz, you're fine. It can't be you. But if you're left wing and I know your name, then I have to assume you're eating babies in the bottom of a pizza parlor.
It's insane. And they keep getting caught. It's not they like someone's asking, like, why aren't they careful about this shit or something? I'm like, right. Being careful just means there would be consequences. Like, they're just like, nothing's going to happen to me. So I'm Venmoing for a blowjob from underage hooker to you know what, FBI.org because fuck it.
He's probably confused because what we do as comedians, because it's so funny, when we give like money to each other, we go totally for the blowjob and cocaine and we put needles in there and stuff. And meanwhile, it's for like, you know, we wrote together, thanks, buddy. But it's like needles and pills and shit. Like, yeah.
That must be what happened.
He thought he was on the dark web and he's like, fuck yeah, give me Cindy.
Oh, man. Dr. Drew is... Right. Guys, I gotta say, he's really making me doubt his relationship advice now. Okay,
his relationship advice, right? He's an addiction specialist. I don't know.
he started as at least is how I was introduced to him was him on Loveline with Adam Carolla. Now it's two people whose advice I'm like, I'm glad I was doing the opposite of that shit.
Right,
but it's like, who else goes further and further in their career away from what they originally did that makes you go back and be like, now I gotta say, maybe all this shit was bad. Cause if your fucking COVID advice is like, it'll be fine. You know
what I mean? Right. Like, Adam Carolla continues to just ride this weird line. And he now sells, I'm still fucking on his mailing list. I gotta get off the crack. But I opened that shit up and he's like, and here's the man shit that you need for this week. And it's like, he relaunched this thing where like, I'm going to tell you every week about the man products that you need to be a man. And it's like a barbecue spatula and like, but like way more expensive. It's like, it's like this whole barbecue set that you absolutely need unless you're not a man. You know, it's like, everything is like next level man shit. And it's regular shit. But like with his affiliate program.
It's so interesting because when I was coming up, they'd always be like, well, people don't give men advice because men don't buy anything. And that's why every relationship book is like, ladies, how to not be a bitch or some other derogatory. You know, it's always something fucked up.
We're always looking to better ourselves. How do I not be a bitch? How do I become a gangster bitch if I'm going to be a bitch?
I got wine, now, but it's for men, and you know it can't be have more alcohol, or it wouldn't be wine anymore, and it wouldn't taste good. But anyway, it's for men.
You take shots of wine, and it's interesting though, right? Because I don't know if it's an equality thing or what, but it's almost like now men are being targeted with just dumb, like because obviously the undercurrent is like you're not a real man. You don't believe in yourself. You're something's wrong with your health and your dick and your stature and your testosterone. But if you get this spatula with Blue Lives Matter on it, you're going to show all the libs and cucks how to flip that burger and they'll have to respect you. It's like, well, I got to give them a fucking $90. I got to have the spatula.
It's true. It's just like that because the rest of his mailer is like, all sarcastic. Like, why don't you tell us what to do some more? Look at this fucking idiot. Like, holy shit. When are we allowed to be men? Am I right? When we use the spatula for this barbecue. That's when we're allowed to be men. It's like, is your woman insisting on cooking even through the barbecue? Barf. Right, guys? She won't even be able to hold this spatula. That's why it's yours and yours alone. Be the man that you know that you are inside and take that spatula and then take on the world.
When he asks you to flip the burgers, you look your husband in the face and go, it's a man spatula, though. Yeah. I'll wait for you.
He's like, I got to go to the store. Let me get my anti-mask mask.
And by the way, not Corolla.
Says, fuck your mask on the front.
With holes in it.
And then
for easy breathing.
A hole for my mouth, a hole for my nose.
A spit hole somehow. So you could aim better.
He's just selling the ski mask. It says man on it.
It's got arrows pointing to your mouth that say beer goes here or some shit. Because I'm a fucking man.
Yeah, and the whole thing is like, don't tell me what to do, but the entire time Adam is telling you what to do.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Oh my, that was like this joke on BoJack where he was getting on a plane.
Yes, and- BoJack. BoJack Corner. BoJack is a
BoJack. And I'm in the season where he's trying to get an Oscar for Secretariat. So he has like a whole PR person that tells him what to do. So he can win the Oscar.
It's for the Your Consideration tour. Now, here's what happens. The Oscars are coming out and it's like, oh, you want to be considered for an Oscar. So you have to remind people to consider them for an Oscar. Oh, but won't they know? Yes, but sometimes they forget. So you mm-hmm. have to send them reminders for Your Consideration.
And so he's like getting on a plane. And she's like, you need to do such and such. He's like, first of all, you can only tell people what to do in like movies or something like that. Like horses, that's not real. Horses don't just do what you say they're going to do. She's like, you're going to get on the plane. You're going to go there and you're going to meet these people. He's like, I'm getting on the plane and I'm going to go meet these people. But this is like, yes, that is how it is with men now. It's just like, no, you're so can't be told what to do. Listen to what I'm telling you to do. And only this will work. It's like, yeah, bro, we're fucking not wearing masks. That's right. Here's a don't wear a mask kit. That's $25. Yeah, and no one can make me stop drinking. That's right. Only cuck stop drinking. Here's some man wine, and we're gonna fucking, that's 50.
So. That's like in my big fat Greek wedding. Oh, if you ever want to know your ethnic friend, that's a good start. Like if you're new to having an ethnic friend, this is as close to reality as your perspective will see, right up front. Now, so at some point, they're trying to get the husband. And I remember this as a kid, my mother talking like this. They're going to try to get the husband to do something that they want them to do. And it's like they're feeding them as if it's his idea. And then and then when they're even scheming, the aunt goes, okay, tell me what to do, but don't tell me what to do. And then when they're talking to him, they're like, oh, you had this great idea that, oh, you're so smart. That's why didn't we think of that? Well, meanwhile, they just fed him the answer.
It must be nice. Sometimes I just wonder, like, did I get into the wrong business? Because this seems like easier money. You don't respect yourself, obviously. Right. No one that you care about will respect you. But, man, it must be so much easier just be like, you know what? Now I've been looking at this thing. The racist people are right. Anyway, send your checks to... Right.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, guys, I found this new God. Want to hear about it? Here's my book. Here's my church. Here's where to donate. Yeah.
Boom.
I can you make know? You feel a way.
Like all the people in the documentary for the Q thing, there's like a huge part where it's just influencers. And it's all just people who were like languishing on YouTube. Their shit wasn't, no one was listening to them. They had tried several different pitches. Like, I'm a weightlifter. I'm this, that. And then the Q thing came along and they were like, yeah, this is real. Donald Trump, blah, blah, blah. Hmm. And they all now float to the top. Like, it's just, boom, podcast taking off. YouTube page taking off. Every Instagram taking off. And it's just like, if I didn't, it's like how I think every mega church pastor is just an atheist that didn't have any fucking morals. You know what I mean? Like, like an atheist is like, but this is so easy. It's just, oh, they're giving away $1 million a week. And I'm like, yeah, but it would be fucked up to take advantage of those people and their faith. He's like, but a mansion. You know what I mean? All I got to do is say this shit is real. And that's what's happening. All right. Let's get into the poll. What was the poll, buddy?
The poll was, are Henda's movie reviews / recommendations helpful to you?
Yes, I mean, or no? Such a rhetorical question. Come on. Come on.
68% lied and said yes.
Stop okay. it.
No, all said right. yes. Was there a glitch?
Okay.
There's a blip.
Well, I feel like the word helpful in this particular sentence was used in different ways with different meanings. So helpful was also, I think, used as enjoyable or entertaining.
It turns out people are like, if I could give Henda a gift, I of course would. I don't know what to get her. These recommendations she makes her happy. So that's like I gave her a gift. So that was helpful to me.
That's true. Mm.
Yes. Yeah.
And of course, I'm just glad she didn't start Scandal. Like, honestly,
I didn't yet.
It's like we dodged a bullet. She's watching Melvin Goes to Dinner and 30 Rock. Those are better things than than more we'll of see. The Shondaverse.
We'll see, because I've been watching a lot of goofy movies.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see. Episode 3,394, Cradle to the Grave, yeah. Old school, Keith and Hemda exclusive. let me tell you, this guy Keith doesn't get it, y'all. Take advantage while you can, because this motherfucker is giving away gifts for his birthday. Who does that? No, I was doing it backwards, bro. You're supposed to get shit, but I mean,
I usually don't celebrate it per se, and I didn't know what to do. So apparently I get the gifts. Shit.
Whatever floats your boat, man. You've been giving away a stand-up show every... It's just... It's kind of ridiculous if you think about it. Oh, here's an hour of my thoughts. I do a shit ton of work for my birthday. Very stress myself out. Hit myself in the head with things. But, you know, take advantage while this guy still has his sickness is what I'm saying, if you're listening. I've already signed up for all the free events.
Good.
Hell yeah.
I did see the new banner on the website, and honestly... It's disgusting how many funny people y'all know. It's really, it's out of control. It's taken up almost a whole page of just funny motherfuckers.
It's exciting, right?
It's gratuitous, is what I said. It's overkill. Okay, we get it. You guys know all the funny people. Show offs. Nah, it's dope. I get excited. I can't believe we're even part of it. Every time I look down there, I'm like, look at us.
VIP is going to be VIP night's going to be so much fun. We're yeah. doing me and my brother doing daddy issues. Adam and Craig will join us. Then we're still going to be there. Newsy Chew's going to pop in. He's going to talk about a past episode or whatever. Then the show after that, then right after that, you guys are going to join in, Rod mm-hmm. and Karen. Everybody's still going to be there. It's stacking chaos. Upon stacking. It's chaos.
It's going to be chaos. I can't fucking wait. And I feel like even Father Malley is getting in on it. Mm-hmm. It's like he knew the universe said, they need some more material. It's time for another episode. Let's give Keith an excuse to sit down with his brother and talk that shit. And he said, you know what? Let me begin an email. Son. And then bam.
You're right.
Material just falling out of the universe.
You know, like everybody gets writer's block. You know, he starts his emails with like, son. And then he just stares at it like, okay, what? Now what bullshit do I have?
Right. Wouldn't you want to see all the drafts?
Yes.
Yes. That's what I was going to say. The unsent folder. Oh.
Was there ever a real thought and that was deleted? Was it much
worse? Does he have an outline?
Yeah.
Is there an outline for it? Like, must tell them these points. Yeah. And then he turns it. I've done that with like, oh God, I have to put so much information with an email. So I write down my points right there and then I go into
the rest first of it. Draft of his anti-Semitic comments. Because you know he has to tone it down.
Sure.
No, we can't say that.
If anything, I did you a favor.
Yeah.
You think you're coming to the chat party and playing poker?
Me? I might. I don't play poker because I'm sorry. I do like the chat party and meeting people, though. That's cool.
I think people want to see you on Sunday, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? Your boy might show up. What time is it? Okay. I might show up.
2 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, I actually can make that. So, you know what, chat people? You guys just got another person on the roster who will be there to make bad jokes and not
you know Rod's give, you know Rod's Keith gonna win. Money. You know Rod's gonna win.
Guys, this, I played one time. I played one time. I thought I was being funny. I tried to call Keith on his shit. I tried to go all in and he immediately took me out of the game. And then I just for the rest of the hour I just got to talk and get to know everyone. So.
Yeah, but you know what? That's how you guys win. Like that could have went any way. It could have dropped the cards that you needed. You kicked Keith out. Now you doubled up your money and you just keep doing dumb shit like that and you win.
Well, maybe. I feel like this is how people also like go broke.
Welcome to keep doing dumb shit. Keith Malley tells you how
this is how you end up at a poker table in fucking New Jersey somewhere. Just fucking
that's
like
fair.
How am I getting home?
I just kept doing dumb shit.
I kept doing dumb shit. She said, do the dumb shit. You're the guys that always win the fucking thing.
Now here's what you have to pay attention to. You're on page 7, you're like, well, I knew there'd be something real to it. Get stupider. Let me explain.
Have you tried not even looking at the cards?
But for that poker game, you get a prize for knocking me or Keith down.
And yeah, yeah. Shout out too, yep. Right? On the show normally, you get this shout out your cancer charity, you know, if you're a good person.
That was so sweet.
That was funny.
I think I would use it for some petty bullshit. It was sad because she did that. I was just like, fuck, that's a whole other level of good person. I would have just used it for some selfish shit. But yeah, every email Father O'Malley sends reminds me that he was supposed to die in the leaves last October.
Right. Oh, you told somebody else, Ken, that I said that? That I never said it. Okay.
Well, now I refuse to die.
If everything is said, then nothing is said. What?
You ruined it for everyone.
Yeah, right.
I was going to die, but no, you had to fuck
you
that up.
Make it a thing, yeah.
Oh man, Khloe Kardashian being sad over her body image was such a weird head trip because it is kind of like, damn, like it's weird because we all knew, right? Because everyone knew that her family was like Photoshop,
yeah,
the angles, the fucking, you know, surgeries and stuff. So it's like it wasn't like a secret. Like none of us were like, right. I don't think anyone was like, Khloe Kardashian is struggling with issues about her body. I think
this picture got out and just let it out. Nobody's gonna pay attention. Nobody's gonna go, well, this one shows some wrinkles on her upper thigh. No one's gonna say anything bad about it.
It's I don't think that's how effect. That's not how it works though. When you have the body image, it's just so big to you, and it will always be.
Then
big.
Call your
so
therapist, you're only going to make it worse trying to take it down on the internet.
It's the Streisand effect. Like that picture. It was like someone lied about Barbara Streisand or some shit, and so, but it was going unnoticed, and so Barbara Streisand was like, "Nah, fuck that, I'm suing this motherfucker." And then all of a sudden, people were like, "Well, what are you suing about?" And so everyone starts paying attention. Mm. To the thing that she wanted no one to pay attention. The whole goal was, if she would have said nothing, it goes away because this person's a nobody and no one gives a fuck what they're saying.
Right.
But once they know Barbara Streisand gives a fuck what they're saying, it's like, well, let's look into this. So it's the Streisand effect for her, where she would have never, it would have been less of a problem if she never said a word about the picture and just didn't confirm or deny that it was a real picture. It would have just been like, oh, whatever. Maybe that's Photoshop. Who gives a fuck? Or, okay, it's her real body. Who gives a fuck? But because she was like, get this taken down, the lawsuits are what made the press. It was all just Kardashian suing to have picture taken off of Reddit. And it's like, well, let me go look at the picture. And now everybody's seen the picture. And then she has to put out 4 pages of Notes app. Because even when you're famous, we all have iPhones.
Right.
So you have to put out 4 pages of Notes app being like, this is why this is fucked up and I'm fucked up and all this shit. But it's just weird because she's benefited from and sort of helped to I don't know, normalize that shit. But I still feel, I know I'm not supposed to, but I still feel bad for her.
I get that. It's sure. Like models who, you know, they're asked to not eat, even though like their body is, it starts off slimmer than the rest of us, but then, you know, modeling places are ready with the stuff after they faint because they're just not.
Right.
But you're part of it and they're asking you to do it and you're making the money doing it and it's destroying you in the same way that you're destroying people by doing it, but where does it stop and where does it end? I don't.
Yeah. I feel bad for her, but like I said.
But also, you've been doing this for so many years. Don't you know the rules? Meaning, what is the law? So she goes to sue to take these things down. And then the next day, now it's news. And it's on the cover of every paper. So obviously, you didn't look up the law. It could be shown.
Right.
Right? It's on the cover of every, you know, not the Times or something, but it's in the cover of most papers. And I'm like, so You didn't know that? You didn't know that you could sue them or not sue them. You didn't know that. And the paper knew it. The paper isn't worried.
Right.
The paper should be embarrassed that that's their front fucking
cover.
Sure,
but you get what I'm saying. Yeah, I might be exaggerating. Horrible. It could be page three.
But and it's weird too, because at the same time, she's not ugly or something. Like, because we've seen her at the basketball game. She has a fucking TV show where it's all, you know, I'm sure just like every other TV show, you know, you're wearing your Spanx and you got your makeup on. But the point being, like, it's not like it's so Photoshopped that we're just like, oh my God, who is this woman? We're like,
there's another,
like,
Kardashian.
Seen you.
Right.
This just looks like the you we know when you didn't do your makeup or you didn't get the right angle or whatever. But it did remind me, last week, y'all were talking about Hayden taking pictures.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Or whatever.
Oh, I relate.
And I was like, what is this her version in that world of just like, I'm going to be real with y'all. I always hated taking these fucking pictures. We had to do them. But this fucking sucks. You gotta suck your gut in. You gotta fucking Photoshop the bullshit. Just
Then you know what? Then fuck you. Then you're the person complaining that you were a televangelist and didn't believe it.
Yeah. Mm,
interesting. Interesting.
Well, it's sad to see she's wilting under the pressure. She should have come out and own it, because that's the other way to play it. To be like,
I mean, either way, she
is
wins.
My body. Fuck y'all, and everybody would be like. A hero.
And they're little tricksters anyway, sis, do some trick. Like, people seem to think I hate this picture. I don't know. It's just a picture.
Right.
Sorry,
then
guys.
They want to call her brave.
Yeah.
That's the goal, you know?
They to be called brave.
Yeah. To be called
brave. You get caught fucking up. You get people to go, they're brave. That's what I would
you
do.
You see a picture of me, know in your heart that I was brave.
Yeah. Every picture.
Every fucking picture.
Like... I'm just like, I hate this shit.
People are like, oh, you're in the army? I'm like, yeah. But also, I took pictures.
The camera, they pointed a picture at me and said, give me mirth. And I did that.
Yeah.
But that is retaking a stance as a brave person.
When you're on stage, I don't know if people realize this, you can hear the shutter click sometimes.
Yes.
And you have to focus so hard at those times. Like, don't let this affect the faces I'm about to make because my words have to come out normal. Because when you start thinking, oh my God, they're taking stills of me while I'm up here, I'm going to have to try to, like, you just naturally, like, fix your face for a second. You're like, no, the words are supposed to come out dirty and ugly and edgy.
Yeah. You know what else is weird, too, is, like, they don't do it anymore. They used to do it a lot, like, Perez Hilton in those blogs. They take pictures of celebrities where, like, in the middle of talking, so it's the worst they ever could look. And then they'd be like, you guys want to fuck Tyra Banks? Look at her face! Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, I don't know what to tell you, but that's not tricking my penis. That one is beautiful, and no amount of weird still shots is going to change that, buddy.
Yeah, they would catch them like just as about to put food in their mouth, where everybody looks ridiculous. How about catch me just as I'm sneezing? Oh, in BoJack, they always use the him sneezing picture. Yeah. Like, it's just him mid sneeze, like BoJack seen here sneezing on Marissa Tomei or something.
Yeah, it's like, why do we do that? But I don't know. I care a lot. I didn't watch it.
The movie.
I don't care.
Look at that.
But
I think you have to.
No, I don't think I do.
All right, okay.
I'll tell you what. I'll trade. That's what I'm doing now. I'm doing content trades, okay? If you watch Bad Trip, I'll watch I Care a Lot.
Oh,
okay.
Fuck.
Right. Mm, exactly. Now you know the feeling I have inside when you suggested that.
I apologize.
Content trades, y'all. Trademark that. That's the new thing. Okay.
I like
we
that.
All have big ass list of shit to watch, like homework assignments. So next time someone suggests something to you, you get to suggest something back to them.
Oh, okay. So Keith, give me a season of BoJack. What do you want?
Death.
You can come back. What? Content trade. You
content
can
trade.
A season?
A season. Wow, not an episode. A season.
Yeah, I will watch
this is a
big season
ass
of something.
How many episodes are in a season?
I don't
of this?
Know. Everybody
like
does
eight
something
or ten.
How many episodes? So BoJack season one. You keep saying how funny it is. Everybody's writing in how it's not funny per se. 12 episodes. That's
12.
That's 6 hours at best, right? Is it half hour?
Yep.
6 hours.
What are you doing?
Godfather 2. What are you doing, bitch?
You.
What am I doing?
It's like Keith has to call me a bitch every once in a while. It's so ridiculous. It doesn't fit anymore, Keith. Okay, I will watch Godfather, the 6 hours.
Nah.
No, nope, not a good trade.
Wow. No. Okay.
All right.
Yeah,
all right,
I feel you, Keith, because you feel like you're trading away something great.
Yeah. Like if I said The Adventures of Ford Fairlight,
on him to side, she's giving you something great.
No, she didn't. But
you don't
not.
Understand this great.
But I know better. She's not, though.
Oh, my God. It's so good. Mm.
Does he play famous horses? Like you mentioned, Secretariat. Is he the actor? Always the actor in like War Horse or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes.
Okay. Yeah, but why does
Mr. Ed exist
like,
in this universe? He's real.
I don't like BoJack because it's just I'm sitting there laughing the whole time. It's a good show.
It is, when you were pitching it to Keith, I was like, I hope he don't watch because I don't want him on our thing, Hemda. Okay,
really?
You bring him too close to fly too close to the sun, and then he just melts our wings. I don't want this.
You ever see
Sometimes
Spinal Tap?
It's better to have Keith far away from your shit. So you can just enjoy it and you don't have to come and tell you like, oh, I watched it and let me tell you the 37 ways it's bullshit. It's like, I was having fun before this.
Okay. You know what? Yeah. That was the last time.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
But he doesn't get this fun thing that we have and that's fine.
I'm still going to quote
it. And it does take a lot of episodes before it clicked. It clicked for me in season one, the drug episode. And I was like, I get it now. This is the most brilliant, beautiful show. That it made me cry and laugh at the same time. So let's leave Keith away from that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'm checking which one's the drug episode.
He's just learning his three emotions.
I cried at the funeral episode.
You know what? It looks like first look up of BoJack Horseman, what's the drug episode? It looks like it's season one, episode 11. It started clicking for you, Rod, on the next to last episode of the whole season.
That's when it paid off. Oh, and it was worth it. It was like ayahuasca, but I've never done it. But it was like that, where it was like, oh, and that's what this shit meant in this episode. And that's why he's all fucked up. But anyway, my point being, don't watch. So stay
I'll
away
watch.
From this.
I'll watch it. You guys are good.
No, thanks.
Anytime I want to feel superior to Keith's opinion, I just think about how much he enjoyed Venom, which sucks.
Venom's great. Venom's so good. There's a Venom 2 coming out immediately with the same superstar, Tom Hardy.
There's 12 Godzilla versus Kongs. That don't mean shit.
You know that's different.
Sequel. Well, it must be great.
That's different production companies, and you know that, and they don't work together. Shame on you.
Yep, shame on you for enjoying that bullshit. Can't believe you, Keith. It's the one place we have to part ways when it comes to these movies.
Well, I thought that thing was a cat. What do I know?
Yeah. last thing.
Yes.
The stats for dogs and cats and the killings.
Yes.
Dogs kill more people than cats. Do they? Or are cats able to get away with it?
Yeah.
Because they're smart. Trip old ladies that are going down the stairs. Mm-hmm. And then what does the coroner report say? Oh, she tripped. She fell down the stairs. Yeah. Or did the cat lady just fucking get murdered by one of these fucking felonious felines?
And next thing you know, she's down the steps. You know that happened.
Right. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Oh, no. Only dogs kill each other. No, dogs don't know how to clean up the DNA evidence or whatever the fuck that cats can do.
Oh, that's why they call it a cat burglar, because they can clean up DNA shit. Yeah,
exactly. How to get away with murder is the last season is all cats.
Yeah, a cop comes into the room. The dog makes those eyes like, I think I made a mistake, shall we? And that's how they get busted. These fucking cats are like, boom, I'm under the dresser like a ferret.
Right. I actually left this house 6 weeks ago, and I'm going to return when there's new owners and take it back over.
I found a stray. You found a stray? Bitch, I've been getting email here for years, you dumb fuck.
Cats take your phone and text from it so they have an alibi.
Yeah. You get an email hacked. Somebody writes on your Facebook. You look at the cat first.
most of stolen identity stuff is probably cats.
Yeah,
retweet.
Yeah,
who else could know your passwords and your credit card numbers and shit? Yeah. It's not a dog.
Nope.
What was the poll?
The poll was: have you seen the original Leprechaun movie from 1993? 73% have not. I don't believe that I have.
Oh.
Yeah,
I didn't know that many people saw it. Okay.
37% have seen it.
Wow. That is much lower than I thought. I thought everyone had seen it. I've never seen it, but I thought everyone else had
seen
it.
You thought everyone saw Leprechaun?
Yeah.
Have you heard anyone talk about it?
Well, yeah, it's that thing Keith said, like Hellraiser, where everyone knows shit from it, but then maybe that's the thing. We all know it, but we didn't see it. We're just like, probably was about this, right?
Or we just, they interviewed us for comedycake.com, and you guys should go read it. But they were like, have you guys seen the movie Leprechaun that you're going to be watching with people? And Keith says something like, I don't think I saw it, but then maybe when I start seeing it, I'm going to recognize that I did see it. So maybe we all saw it and just have no memory of it.
Yeah, I said halfway through, I'm going to be like, oh, shit.
This is terrible.
I did see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember. He goes on to like talk about how he thinks if a movie is so bad that his brain does the does him the service of deleting it. This is what we get into.
I saw there's a movie like that. I saw it's a horror movie. Mm-hmm. It has who's the guy from NYPD Blue? The first guy he thought he was going to be a movie star.
Jimmy Smith?
Caruso. David Caruso.
Oh, my man. Yeah.
He's the best. And he's in this horror movie, and I saw, and it's shitty, Session 9. Right. And then I saw it again, and I'm like, I don't think I ever saw it. David Caruso in a horror movie? Halfway through, I'm like, I've seen this. Three-fourths, I'm like, fuck, I've seen this. Like, it's so bad. I didn't remember the people talking through the walls, the gold found in the walls, like all this now, shit.
You're old enough to have experienced this, but have you ever done that and rented a movie from like a physical, like a Blockbuster or the CD?
I'm sure I did.
I feel like I've done that before where I've like, because, you know, back then you couldn't even see the previews. Just you go to Blockbuster and it's like, right. Wesley Snipes in The Art of War 2, and you're like, that right. sounds interesting. He's doing karate on the fucking cover, and you get home, you're like, I saw this shit. Right. It sucked.
Yeah, all you see is the cover, and it's not like someone's telling you, Wesley Snipes. You're reading it like that in
right.
your head. It could also be said, Wesley Snipes in the next, like, you can... comes with your voice.
Yeah, that's what I should have been doing, is reading them in the country accent, so I would not want to watch them. Wesley Snipes is a agent that kills. Oh, turn the shit off. This is terrible. All right. Diamond Dogs 27, a Diamond Dog Easter.
Yes.
Started with a little ditty by Craig Klein to get us in the mood.
He played live, Kenda.
He played live.
He played guitar and sang the Diamond Dog song.
Now, do y'all just do that kind of stuff off mic before every episode, but this time you recorded it?
No. No.
Okay.
He's not played guitar before.
And it wasn't like our DMX
no.
accidents.
I was like, hey, can you play it? I think he was just fucking around. Could he play it before the show? And I'm like, can you? And I'm like, okay, see if you can. Then he started playing. Then he's playing for some time. And I'm like, well, this is the official take no matter what happens. And then what happened, which is very funny. And then I just started.
I liked the song. It was cool.
Yeah.
He also gave us an exclusive interview. KTG exclusive, Diamond Dog exclusive. He is not involved in sex cult trafficking. So
right, he is not.
You heard it here first, y'all. We can officially.
Craig Klein did that interview on Keith and the Girl about the article where he's involved in a club that was sexually inappropriate, and then the article, poorly written article, but it was saying how there's rituals and stuff, dark shit in the strip club. So he was on a QAnon list, and people were writing him. As if he eats babies.
Mm. Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you watch the documentary, I wonder if he watched the documentary and felt relieved, because then you see the fucking nerds behind it and you're like,
right.
I could beat all their asses. Right. Fuck these guys. Come find me, bitch.
Right.
I would love to see you in the street, Q. I wonder if Adam believes in conspiracies because he's running conspiracies on his kids with Santa and the Easter Bunny. It's like the first conspiracy his kids have to figure out isn't true. And then they'll be armed for life, for a life of reading conspiracies as well.
I think he could, he's one of these people that I could see if he gives the goofy side enough time, like literal time,
He could be like, ah, both sides have a point. Like, we do understand that, you know, Russian was bullshit, right? And I'm like, well, no. I'm like, but it was exaggerated, right? And I'm like, okay, but you were watching for something for fun, and now you're sounding silly.
Yeah. He fell asleep
the other day listening to Alex Jones as a joke, but meanwhile, who knows what that did to his brain?
I'm going to say. They know that this internet shit and these algorithms work.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, as much as we all want to feel above it and that it'll never affect us, but like, they did experiments on Facebook at one point in time to see if they could make you depressed.
Oh my God.
By showing you depressing things from your friends. So like, you know, Hemda could post 12 things: going out with Xerxes, riding my bike, smoking weed, eating food. Oh, I had a bad, you know, my mom called and it made me cry. They'll just show me her mom called and it made her cry. Oh, wow. And then they'll just show me that Hugsy Malone got sick or some shit.
Right.
And then they'll just down, down, bam, bam, bam. And wow, they just did personal. This shit
Rod
to
knows,
see.
I'm sorry. Pause for Rod knowing exactly what would make us upset.
I'm an algorithm. I'm not even here, guys. I work for Facebook. 001001 shout out to Mike Kaplan, he understands. But it was just like but they did this in real life to people who weren't aware they were doing this,
right?
And admitted to a Facebook, like, we just wanted to see if we could make people happy or sad. So when I think about like this internet shit, where like, how did these people become, you know, fucking whatever? It all starts from just them being like, well, we can just switch your brain to this path. So, yeah, Adam, stop. If you're listening to this, Adam, stop. Okay. We've heard their side enough. It's crazy. But I do think it's interesting that, like, parents grow up, they're like, I can't believe my kids became an atheist. And I'm like, well, the first thing you taught me was Santa Claus, and that was a lie.
Right.
The Easter Bunny's not real. I feel like you were training me to just be like, this is bullshit, isn't it? So, can you really be mad at me?
Right. That's a, yeah, kid philosophy. Yeah, if you put it together, you're like, oh, you're telling me not to believe in this.
That's how I feel. It's very conflicting. You know what I mean? Like, my parents, when I figured out Santa Claus wasn't real, they were like, yeah, so you're not getting any more of those Santa presents. These are all from me. I'm like, so it was always bullshit. So why do we go to church Sunday?
You know? It's funny that we knew all this stuff was from Santa, but we also knew you had to thank mom and dad for everything.
Yeah. Interesting.
I guess for letting them in at night. I don't know.
As I got older, the presents started being like 2-for-1 parents to Santa.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, first it was all Santa, and then at some point they were like, you're going to give me my motherfucking credit, okay? I got the cool shit. Santa bought you these baseball cards, okay?
My brother, Michael, is an atheist, and, you know, his kids go to daycare. So Santa just starts flocking into his house, and he's, like, very anti that whole thing. Mm. And so when you speak to Max at this point, the other one is just starting to talk, and it's like, oh, dad got you a present, or you got a present. It happens to be around Christmas. And Michael goes, okay, but tell them for what? No, just because Santa's not real. Like, he has to make sure. Like, isn't it better that I get you presents throughout the year than this concentrated day? And Max goes, yeah, that is better. And I'm like, oh, boy.
I wonder what happens. What is rebellion like in the atheist house? Like, at 13 years, they'll be like, Santa is real? And these are Christmas presents, Dad. Okay? Don't fucking tell me. I giving you Christmas presents, and they're from Santa.
Yeah. Meanwhile, their cousin, Max's cousins, are, we speak to them at the end of the year, and it's like, oh, you got a new toy. And they're like, yeah, it's for Hanukkah, not Christmas. I'm like, oh, okay, buddy.
You leave all the house at 18, you slam the door on your way out, and God bless you.
Yeah. I'm going to church, Mom. Oh, man. I went
and
into
that's
your
why,
room.
That's why I'm only getting them gifts on 420.
Smart. I went into your room, and I looked in your behind your drawer, and what is this? Is this a Bible?
I'm holding it for somebody.
Have you been reading this shit? No. This is a bookmark. All right.
It's just a joke. It's just a joke to me.
No, I'm totally just smoking weed.
Right.
Right. Are you in here praying? You're supposed to be playing video games and smoking weed.
The weed is the bookmark, and the mom just puts the weed on the side. What the fuck is this?
No, I'm just meditating.
Are you using this for rolling papers? You better be using this for rolling papers.
I make him read the whole fucking book. You want to read a little passage? You read the whole fucking book. Old Testament, New Testament, Quran. Read it. You love it so much.
Oh, man. Oh, I want a whole TV show based off of just the atheist family sitcom, but the kids rebel into religion and other shit.
Right.
I love Adam's slogan promoting the vaccine. I really wish that New York or the U.S. could adopt it globally and put it on commercials. Don't be a bitch and get your vaccine. A1.
It's simple. Okay? It's to the point.
It works. Okay.
That's where he's not in the middle.
That's where he's not in the middle.
Okay.
Honestly, Adam Carolla could put that in an email. He wouldn't even break his brand.
Right.
People would be like, you know what? He did say not to get it, but then he said I'd be a bitch if I didn't get it, and I ain't no bitch. So roll these sleeves up. We got our second shot last weekend, by the way, and I'm still here.
Okay. So, which one did you get?
Pfizer.
Nice.
BioNTech is what it's called. Pfizer. So it's two shots. They said the second one's supposed to make you feel like terrible or something, but I just had that feeling before you get a cold, before you get sick, that feeling for like 6 hours, and then I was fine.
Yeah. It's like a little achy.
Yeah, oh man, tomorrow I'm gonna have a cold, and then you know, like I went to bed early, but then it's weird, right? Because like, did I go to bed early because I woke up early? It was all work. Like, oh, I got to get this shot, man. I'm not fucking around. I hope it's not a long line. All the anxiety of like, I slept 4 hours, but I'm going to get this motherfucking shot, you know?
Yeah.
And then you get home and you kind of like, am I going to die yet? And when am I supposed to get sick? Am I going to get the headache, the fever, the chills? When is it going to kick in? And so I feel like I exhausted myself worrying. And then I went to bed like at 10 and then maybe like, a little tossing and turning or something. I think Karen was tossing and turning just a little bit. And I told her like, go get 2 Advil or whatever. I think they tell everybody like, just get 2 aspirin or something. 2 of those. And then she slept throughout the night and she didn't have any side effects or anything. So
that's good.
Anyway, don't be a bitch and get your vaccine, everybody. Okay. That's what we're doing here. I mean, honestly, if it kills you, the coronavirus would have killed you, okay? You are a weak motherfucker. It was just going to get you in one way or the other. So just get it over with.
Quite the campaign, Adam.
Yeah. You learned something about yourself, okay?
Wow, I did. I am a bitch who's going to die.
I like to lie about the side effects and be like, it made my dick super hard. I fucked all night, bro. That's what we got to do. They're already lying the other way. Like, you're going to die. So just lie. Let's lie the good way. Dude, I woke up, my credit score was 790. I don't know.
Yeah, if the headings don't be a bitch, the fine print isn't going to be pretty.
Yeah. It's been a while, and I was wondering if everybody was still sticking it in. So thanks for asking, Key.
Certainly.
Will it be weird Saturday when Hemda's there?
Yeah.
You have to ask everybody if they're still sticking it in?
It's more, you're saying it crass. It's more, are you getting laid? But yeah, it's same thing, of course. No, I mean, it needs to be asked. It's a serious question. You know, but for how many years have we not talked about sex being important in a relationship? So I got to know that my dogs are barking fine, that they're getting their medicine. No,
and I'm not going to come in there meowing, knowing my, you know, knowing who I'm coming in with. So, you know, I'll come barking.
I just feel like sometimes with him that goes into detail, because, you know, Keith likes to go into detail into this segment. And sometimes when Hemda goes into detail, Keith gets a little bit like, oh, I didn't want to know all that. But I feel like that's the segment.
That's right. So we're going to see. We're going to see how that plays out.
I can't wait. I'm saying I'm looking forward to Saturday.
I don't know either.
To see if she has photo evidence of a wet spot on the bed, and then you just like lose your mind.
Right.
Even though you asked her that question, and it's kind of your fault.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I certainly didn't ask her for that fucking disgusting picture. But yeah, if of course, if I'm the one to ask a question, yeah. Oh, that was vomit this time.
If she talks about her poon, you're gonna.
Oh my god! Right?
It?
She's gonna. If she.
You're asking.
I know this is silly. You're being silly, Rod, right now because right, you I'm know the poon is a deliberate poke. Okay. It's not a normal speech, but she's acting like it is. And that's the hang up on that. It's not a woman talking about sex. Mm.
Yes. So when somebody asks me if I'm still sticking it in, I have to answer responsibly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's not a woman. It's him that I'm talking about. Not just any woman. I'm not saying you'd be squeamish if Sue Costello was talking about it. But I just know him.
You know what?
Go in.
That would be fine. Is there a double standard with Hemda? I guess so. Hey guys. Yeah, I did. Yeah, of course we did. She was on Diamond Dogs. Of course I did.
I can't even remember her answer. I feel like she would have been like, "Les Moonves was sticking it in. He got, but I had a meeting with him. We saw eye to eye. He understood I wasn't to be trifled with like that.
And it's me too, but it's not about me too. And it's sexual, but it has nothing to do with sex. Nice try, press. 2022 is my year and 21. Just looked at the calendar. 21.
That's why I was the first person to ever negotiate a deal. It should be called to me instead of me too, because the money is coming to me and not to you.
Anyway, keep an eye on me because all the truth's about to come out. Really? Because a year ago, he said he dedicated a part of his website to all your adventures. Well, I'm busy. They're not out just yet. Just right
any
now.
Day now.
Any day, and it's going to change everything. She just posted. It's the best. This Instagram.
The Sue Costello bombshell is dropping.
Is the best. She posted a picture of a screenshot of somebody that wrote her, sounded like her manager or something. Hey, they loved you in the movie so much, they're going to change all the characters to work around you. You killed it again, Sue. And then she posted that and being like, I'm always killing it. Told ya, you'll see. Hashtag Tsunami.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I do like the Tsunami.
Yeah. That's... They changed the whole movie.
Oh, no.
So it'd be more around her. You know what I mean?
And then you're proud
because,
of that.
Because she did so good at an audition. We're never going to see this movie. Who knows when this came out? I think it's an old text, assuming it's real. I think it's from years ago. Like, she just shows things from years ago. Like, here's me in the paper. I'm like, what is that front? Like, what's the other side of that? I don't. But she's a killer and kills it. Keep and watching.
Then, last week, Keith and the Girl, 142.
Yes.
So the White Boy documentary. I watched it.
Okay.
I thought it was so good. I've done a podcast that I listened to about it already. I listened to another podcast called Crime Time that talked about it. But this was so much better because it was such a better thing because you could see the pictures of the people they were talking about and the people they were talking to. And it really hits home how much people did not like White Boy Rick. Like, they were like, this motherfucker going to prison forever.
Well, I think I thought it was less that people didn't like him and more that Pete, like, he was everybody's scapegoat.
Yeah.
You didn't have to like or hate him. It was just, oh, let's throw it on this kid because we can, because he's got nothing this whole time. He's got nothing. He's just, I feel like I'm hesitant to say it because he didn't always do the right thing, but I feel like he keeps trying to do the right thing. And everybody, like the person who will use him in the worst way will catch him at that moment.
Mm. I felt like part of it was specifically because he was a white dude in this game. Because like every other person in documentary is basically a black person. It's like, I was doing crimes way worse than Rick. It's like he stood out for the same reason that he was successful or whatever.
Well, I think that was the whole thing is from that perspective, it's like, why are you giving him this credit? We were the ones doing this. Like,
yeah, that's how that one dude sounded.
Yeah, he was the king of my ass. Why are you talking about him like this?
The one dude was like, I did 7 years. I was his boss. Like, I was telling him what to do. And he would like cop to everything fucked up except anything that would incriminate him further.
Yeah.
Like, when they were like, so then you had him shot? No, I didn't say I had him shot for snitching.
Right.
He was perfect. I was like, oh, you know exactly every word coming from your face, and you know what you already went to jail for and what you will go to jail for if you deviate from this language.
The cool cat in the boardroom, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you notice he was missing a finger, by the way?
No.
I didn't his right hand, he's missing his index finger.
But only in some shots, right?
Yeah.
The other thing that was funny, too, was that all the gangs had these nice names. It was like the Good Time Boys,
yes,
right? And
the Friends Gang.
Right. They're funny.
It's like
we do it together. Our favorite color is brown.
And then they bring on the police, and they're like, "Yeah, so the Good Time Boys, they had 147 murders in the west side of the city that year." I'm like, "Damn!" And they went by the Fun Time Happy Guys. That seems kind of misleading.
Arrest them. They're Girl Scouts, boss. Yeah, right. That's you like, can't
that's
go by
exactly
the name.
How I die is with them. I'm at the basketball court, and they're like, "Why are you talking shit to that guy? Do you know he's in the Happy Time Gang?" And I'm like, "Fuck him! Fuck the Happy Time Boys! I don't give a fuck. Or what are they gonna do? Murder me?"
Don't smile at me too much, Happy Boys Town.
Yeah. Like, oh, they killed another three people today.
See, that was from my recommendation. And Rod, I assumed that you clicked that it was helpful since you saw a movie. Like,
I think I said, no, your movie reviews are not helpful.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Well, look what you just did.
I know. I should have said sometimes they are helpful. I needed a qualifier.
I think if it's sometimes, it's yes, because if it's helpful.
And I would say helpful. If two out of three are no, it's no. But now I see what you're saying. If it's even yes one
time. She helped you move one time out of three times, was she helpful?
Right. So
and joy is joy. I don't, what did I hurt you those other
I
times?
I think we need a, yes. I think we need a survey.
Yes, you did. That is, wasted 2 hours twice. Fuck you.
I'll never get those times back. But other than that. Also, the favorite thing about the White Boy Rick documentary is the beginning of it where it says, like, everyone is presumed innocent in this documentary.
Yeah, sure.
I'm like, get the fuck. You know, we all think these people are criminals and they did every goddamn thing you're alleging.
Right.
Like, they don't have any crimes on Gil Hill, the mayor, but we're all like, corrupt mayor guy. We get it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen movies like you know, fictionalized true stories, or you know what I mean. And and then at the end, they're like, "No, these people are based on real people." And I'm like, "Hey, you used the real names, what?
Right?
That's a law thing. What?"
It's like when you watch a sporting game, and they're like, "Any descriptions, depictions of this event will be da 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 da," and it's like. So if I describe this game to my like, is the NCAA going to fucking send me a lawsuit? Because I was like, that game was bananas. He hit this three. Like, get the fuck out. But the last thing I'll say for last week, this feels like the safe corner for me to go and do nice complaints about my wife. Okay.
Goofy. I like this segment from both of you. You both sound so goofy, but also it's sweet. And also, like, hey, you know, that's
dealing with
totally
a
valid.
Sweet, dealing with a sweet lover will do this to you, okay? This is the last thing Karen was too sweet on, okay? So she comes in the house, and I have a cast iron pan. I love it, but it's huge. It's a big-ass cast iron pan. And she's like, I think I'd like to get a smaller cast iron pan, right? I'm like, you know what? Yeah, let's get a smaller one. And I said, I can get rid of this one because this is too heavy for you anyway. There's, you know, we'll just get something a little bit smaller. It's still big enough, blah, 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 right? I'm like, cool. We go to Target, you know, I'm like, we're making a trip. We're going out here. We're doing our shopping. We get to the cast iron pan section. I get a pan. It's a little bit smaller. I say, hey, can you handle this weight? Yeah, it's fine. I like this as much. Cool. I put it in my cart. She goes, you sure you don't want to keep your old pan? And I said, no, we've already driven out. Why would I, am I lying to you? You don't believe me when I said I'm on board with the plan? She's like, yeah, but then you say you're going to get rid of your old pan. I was like, we agreed to this before we left the house. When you brought this up, I don't want 12 pans. I think this is. She's like, but is it big enough? Will it work for the things you cook? I'm like, there's two people in our house. There's nothing I cook in that pan that won't fit in this pan. what? I said, give me an example. What won't fit in this pan that I've made? She's like, I don't know. I don't want you to not have a pan. I was like, but I have this pan. So she convinced me to buy the pan and then tried to convince me to not buy the pan at the same time. And I think she thought she was being nice to me because I wouldn't get rid of my old pan, but it wasn't nice. It was now frustrating.
I totally get her, because I'm like, I feel like because I had a thought, I am now taking away one of your things that you really like, you know, that's seasoned and ready for you. And you're used to the weight and you're used to the size. And, you know, if we were to add one that's for me, that's different. But we're adding one and then you have to throw yours out. I'm like, what did I do?
Yeah. Oh, I love her. But
yeah, I don't like that so much, because she said she's just trying to be sure. But I do get it. It's like, well, I was sure, but now I'm not sure. Now the whole thing.
Yeah.
Where Kyle would go, can you get me a pan?
Right. Oh, that's even worse.
That'd be the worst.
That's even worse. That's the worst of the worst. What kind of pan? You know, the right kind.
Anything.
Any of them will do. And then you get home, it's never that way.
How could it be this one?
Right. Think about what you did when you got this pan. Why would I want to use this pan? Can you put it in the oven? No.
Ethan, are you using your cast iron?
Yeah. Kind of. Once in a while. Like a steak or something.
Yeah. That's what it's there for, right? It's a once in a while pan. You know what I mean?
We use it all the time.
Still got risotto on the side, you know, so that's nice.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
And you used to. What was the thing that Kyle said she wanted to eat that you bought? What was it?
Hummus.
Hummus and carrots and
broccoli rob.
Broccoli rob's a big one, yeah.
You got that at the crib? You making that on the
I buy it fresh every week and then throw it out on the Tuesday. It's a ritual.
The other thing
I offer it to her during sex. She says, no, we throw it out after. It's a real fun thing we do.
The other thing Karen does too that's like super nice, and I don't want her to stop, so I won't say anything, but she's not doing it right. She loads the dishwasher. Like anyway, sometimes like in ways that don't make sense. Like the forks are supposed to be pointed down in the little fork bin, but then like last week for some reason she just pointed them all up and then they were all dirty and I had to run the dishwasher again. So like 60% of the dishes were clean, but like 40% just need to be rerun. But she's doing it because I cook and it's you know helping.
What are you going to do? Criticize her every time?
Exactly. Like, I just eat it inside and let the cancer grow each week.
And by cancer, I mean the shit on my dishes. Right. Yeah.
Because I'm like, I could go in there. Because then I feel like a parent, you know? It's like, do you think this is how it's supposed to go? I'm like, ah, fuck it. This has mayonnaise on it. I got to fucking run it again. I'll just run it again. And not say anything. Right. So until she hears this, the jig is up.
But people don't change. It's like, okay, well, I'm doing dishes. So whatever. I got 50 other things to do today and I don't need to hear you about it every day.
Yeah. Honestly, you know what I do? I reform it in my mind so that I can be happy where I'm like, 80% of the dishes turned out fine.
Yeah. You know? And you didn't do those 80%.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
You know what? It's like she washed almost all the pots. You know?
There you go.
What I
mean?
Is she going to always think that you have to run it twice? Like you went, look, 60% of the dishes are done and we'll just take some new ones and put them in here also.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way dishwashers work.
I'm like,
and then they show a new dishwasher, because what could be new, by the way, but they show a new dishwasher commercial and she's like, they said it cleans all your dishes. All?
She's just not like very curious about that kind of mechanical shit in general. So it's like, I'm very curious about. I'm like, how does this work? So I can make it work the same way every time, whether it's a fucking computer, a video game, whatever. But I think Karen's just like, sometimes they don't clean the mayonnaise. This is a crazy machine.
Mayonnaise is weird, yeah. Not everybody likes it.
And the last thing I have to say is, was it Sandra Oh? For Q&A?
You figured it out. I can't say.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't want to violate any NDAs, but I have a feeling. It was even called, like, Choose Anatomy, and she was a star of Grey's Anatomy. But long as he doesn't violate the NDA. I don't want him to get in any trouble.
That's his business.
All right. Well, I'll see you folks on Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay. The wrap up. I guess it'll be last night on Keith and the Girl. Last KTG week on Keith. I don't know. We'll workshop it. And then Sunday, hopefully I'll see you guys around the poker table as I hang out with the fans and get to see everybody's face. If you haven't done that, everybody should at least try it once just to go hang out with the crew. You
get it's fun. Everybody's cool. Everybody's cool.
So, all right, that's it, y'all. We're going to get out of here. Appreciate y'all. We'll see y'all for me Saturday. And after that, probably 2 weeks. So until then, y'all, peace.